So last time we at the Chronicle staff were talking, the topic of books came up, and it got me to realize just how little for I read for fun nowadays. It seems to only just be class stuff, and then I never feel like reading anymore, and I kind of want to change that. So I want to know kind of like what maybe you guys have been reading, what you want to read, what you're kind of maybe just like your favorite books. So I don't know if someone has one on the top of their head they want to start with.
The last book I read that I really enjoyed was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey, and I'd highly recommend it. It's an interesting read. It's not long. And then you can watch the movie after you read the book, and the movie's really good too. But I'd recommend reading the book first.
Just for like for someone who doesn't really know what it is, without spoiling it, what's the kind of like a general summary of what it's about?
It follows this guy who pretends to be insane. So he goes into a mental institute and he's pretending to be insane because he doesn't want to go to jail. So the judge sends him to this mental institute to get evaluated, and it's his story, and it's very interesting.
And it's one of those names I've heard a lot, but I've never really known what it was about.
It's a great read. And it's really interesting because the author, Ken Kesey, it's kind of his experiences as a janitor at a mental institute because he worked there to pay for like college and stuff. And so it's kind of, you learn some things about Ken Kesey and you just learn some things about like the culture and the times. And I love it. It's one of my top books.
Does the movie reflect the book in a pretty good way, or is it more of like a loose adaptation?
It's pretty good. There's one scene that in the book it makes sense, like the part, but then in the movie they change the whole part up and it just is confusing. But it's still a good movie. Like, I really like the movie. But it was just one of those where they changed one part and I don't know why they did or a point, but
Did you read the book first or watch the movie first?
I read the book
Gotcha.
because it's one of my dad's favorite books. And so he was like, you gotta read it, you gotta read it. So then I finally, over Christmas break, just read it all and then watched the movie with him. And yeah, I would highly recommend reading the book first.
Make a list of these books now. I'm thinking about it, so I actually remember all the ones we're talking about.
Yeah, so the book I'm reading now, called Lost Stars. It's a Star Wars book. So if you don't like Star Wars or don't know anything about it, I'm sorry, but I'll try and keep it as normal as possible. But it's basically about like this this boy and a girl who grew up on the same planet in the Star Wars universe. And they dream of becoming pilots for the Empire, for the big dictator of the galaxy. And it kind of follows them going through that and becoming like these top pilots or whatever. But one of them defects and joins like the Rebel Alliance, which is, you know, the enemy of the Empire. So it's kind of about their struggle between each other being these like lifelong friends, and then one of them, you know, abandons the organization that they were, you know, dreaming of since they were kids. And it's pretty cool. It's a really interesting like relationship between the characters so far, kind of like where it's going.
Is that a newer book, or is it has it been out for a while?
It seems pretty modern. Let's see if there's a year on here. 2017. So yeah, I mean, within the last few years, but yeah, it's been really good so far. It's like I don't really read for leisure too often, but this book has been one of those that's really kept me engaged and like kept me up later than I should reading it, which doesn't happen too often.
Don't know if this question will make sense, but does it feel like Star Wars?
Yeah, as someone who like is a nerd about that stuff, you know, it really feels like authentic and like it's in the universe, which I really like.
Because some of my issues with Star Wars is they all kind of feel the same to one another. So that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
That's why I was like, I don't know if that made sense, if it's like it feels like Star Wars.
Yeah, what's kind of cool about this one is like most books will show it from like, you know, the Rebels' perspective where they're shown as like the heroes. But this one obviously is from the perspective of people who see the Empire as good and like this holy, like, you know, noble leader type thing. So it's really cool to see the perspective of like people who view the Empire as like a helpful organization as opposed to like this evil big enemy. You know, it's pretty cool.
That's even nice.
If you don't like Star Wars, it's interesting to read.
That's a nice perspective to see. Cause basically every other piece of Star Wars media, at least that I've seen, just has a very clear good guy, bad guy. And it kind of not interesting after a while. Cause you know who to root for, but if the lines are blurred and you have that personal connection with the characters, then that could be really interesting. I might have to check that one out too.
It's like, it's almost like surprisingly dark too, like where you wouldn't expect. Like one of the main characters, like he doesn't really like authority figures, and it's because he was like kind of abused by his dad. And I was like, I did not expect that to like come up in a Star Wars book where one of the main characters is like actually abused and has trauma. You know, it's like, yeah, like that's what I was saying. It kind of goes into more like the human elements of the characters, which is really cool. But
you said it was called Lost Stars?
Yeah, yeah. It's by Claudia Gray.
Does it connect to like the mainline series? Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. There's hints to the regular like universe and everything that's going on, and you kind of know the time period it takes place, so it's more of a cohesive timeline as opposed to just kind of, you know, whenever in the timeline of everything.
So what were you going to talk about then, Claire?
I'm bringing myself to read Little Women before I watch the movie that everybody so claims to love. It was one of those books that was technically in my reading curriculum when I was homeschooled, but I connived my way around reading it. I just avoided it by reading other books instead. So I just made it through without really reading it because I thought, well, if I really disliked Pride and Prejudice, then Little Women's just going to be a waste of my time. But now I'm not 13 anymore, and I'm kind of intrigued.
So have you started reading it then, or is it just one you want to get to?
I just started reading it, yeah.
What are your first impressions of it so far?
It isn't as jaunty as I was expecting it to be. I know the language and Pride and Prejudice, though, like, the whole plot of Pride and Prejudice, like as far as dialogue goes and interactions between characters, it can be pretty melodramatic. The language is very sharp. Same with like Wuthering Heights. If you really want your brain to hurt, read Wuthering Heights and try to like keep on track. But it's a little simpler, which is not something I was expecting. I was just expecting the language to be a lot more flowery. But yeah, it's just the interactions between all these sisters, and they're just growing up together. So far I'm liking it. I only started it a little while ago, but I feel like it's wrong of me to watch the movie if I know there's a book out beforehand. So I want to put myself through reading the book before watching the movie. It's kind of like a little moral I have.
Just as a general rule.
Yeah.
You can't do it the other way around, where you watch the movie then read the book.
No. And like I call it a scarring experience that kind of solidified that for me. That really convicted me, like, yes, I should read the book. Growing up, I read this series called The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
Yes. I was 9 years old,
the movie is so good too.
Oh, that's where I disagree. movie, no, like, no,
as a kid, that movie was, like, lit. And I don't even use the word lit that often.
I remember enjoying the movie. I mean, again, I was younger, so it's, like, it probably isn't a great movie, but...
High expectations for the movie, though. That was the thing, because I was, like, 9 years old when I read it. I was, like, the age of the twins. So I was like, yes! Mm-hmm. This is my childhood! And the part I was looking forward to the most was in book 4, where the sister is in the dwarven caves,
mm-hmm.
if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees were made out of silver and jewels. And the book illustrated it so beautifully to where, like, in my head, I just had this grandiose idea on, okay, before things turn and they're trying to rescue their sister, you know, they're going to go through the dwarven caves and try to escape. They didn't even have that. And then the movie just, like, butchered it all for me. I was over it. And I thought, yeah, the book is definitely better. I feel like I need to have this experience of reading the book and having these, you know, images in my head to solidify the weight of the story for me before I watch the movie. So, but, oh, gosh. If you want, like, a nice series, it's technically a kid's series, but still pretty darn good, then definitely pick up the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Now, those are one of those books where I definitely judge the book by the cover, but, like, in a positive way, where I only wanted to read it because I loved the covers. They were so pretty.
The covers are amazing.
And, like, yeah, and then I just got hooked on
them. I think the author, wrote this children's book called The Spider and the Fly. That's also something I vividly remember. I can't remember. I think it was co-written on The Spiderwick Chronicles, Holly Black and someone else. But yeah, it's pretty dang good for a children's book.
Did you ever try reading the, like, Spiderwick Chronicles, like, continuous, like, series? Like, there was a series after the original one that I read, like, I read the first book of it, but then, like, I never read the others for whatever reason. I'm trying to figure out if I can find out what the, like, tagline of that second series was.
Did anyone else read a series in, like, elementary school? I think it was 39 Clues or something like that. Or am I the
That's
only one?
Very familiar.
I remember, like, people in my grade were, like, obsessed with that series. Like, they're always checked out in the library, and I don't know. It's, like, an okay series, but I don't even remember what it's about. I just remember everyone being obsessed with it. What are your guys' favorite, like,
school? I can't relate. I said I can't relate. Never in public school.
What's everyone's favorite, like, movie based on a book, like, adaptation?
I really like my favorite movie based on a book is honestly probably Misery. It's a Stephen King book.
What's that one about?
It's about an author, like, I'm pretty sure he's, like, pretty well known, but he was just, like, getting his latest book made or approved or whatever, like, getting a proofread. He gets into a car crash and gets found by, like, one of his biggest fans, who, like, finds him with his, like, manuscript and hates that he was, like, killing off her favorite character. So she basically traps him in her house and gets him to rewrite the book.
I didn't realize, like, that was the book.
Yeah. And, like, she's, like, making him rewrite the book how she wants it. Because she has such, like, a crazy... It's basically, like, Crazy Fan, the movie. Yeah. But, like...
Does he die in the end? Because I'll get mad
that's a spoiler.
The author if he dies in the end. Oh, I'm sorry. That was supposed to be a joke.
Oh, I was supposed to say, that'd be a big spoiler. I mean, I'm not going to say one way or the other. There's some pretty horrible things that happen that, honestly, I think are worse in the movie somehow. Like, it's a pretty famous scene, but I still don't want to spoil it. But, like, she does some pretty awful things. And it's, like, it's technically, I think, more gruesome in the book. But in the movie, it's just so much worse. because you see it happen, even though it's slightly different. You hear it. You hear it.
Is the book like really long? I think I know what you're talking about. Stephen King's books are like super long.
In front of me, how many pages is 310? It's not super, super long.
Oh, it's not.
It's not like It, where I don't think there's anyone in recorded history that's finished It.
Gosh,
like 1,000 plus pages.
I've heard there's like some really uncomfortable scenes in It, so just like brace yourself if you are to read it. I'm not gonna read it for that reason.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate It for what he wanted to do and for how much effort went into it, but yeah, it gets messed up. Especially because you're dealing with a lot of kids.
He came out on record and said he was on drugs when he did it too. Like he was on acid or something.
For like half of his early books, I'm sure he was on drugs for like all of them. He had a...
Yeah.
He has a history with drugs.
Like, it was like the 80s too.
That's actually honestly a really... He has a kind of memoir, like an autobiography slash like writing help book called On Writing. That's by Stephen King. It's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I've heard that's really good.
Even if you don't necessarily have an interest in getting into writing yourself, it's still an interesting autobiography on like how he goes about writing his books and like kind of like where he was in his life when he wrote like Carrie per se and how that kind of like made his career. And like,
What about everyone else for their favorite movie adaptations of books?
There's a book called Dances with Wolves. And it's made into the movie. And it's so... The movie's like one of my favorite movies of all time. And I read the book after seeing the movie. And you just see how well... Like... Nothing really big was changed. So... Like, lines are almost the same. It's just a perfect... rendition of a book, you know? And I'd highly suggest people watch that movie. That's one that I feel like you don't need to read the book first. I mean, it's always good to read the book first, but that and one
I know I've heard of the movie, but I'm not really sure what it's about. What's it about?
It's about the Civil War soldier gets injured during battle. And he gets like an honor to choose where he wants his post. So he chooses to go out into the frontier because he wants to see like Buffalo and see the American frontier before everything changes, before they take it over. And he befriends a group of Indians, and it's just his story of like learning their culture, realizing like how drastically they are changing the Indians' lives and stuff. And it's just a really, really good movie and book.
Yeah, I don't want to get into spoilers, but isn't there like kind of a crazy ending too? Or like kind of a shocker ending?
When I saw it, there wasn't anything like, oh, whoa. I mean, the biggest part for me, like, dudes eat buffalo hearts. There's that.
Okay. But that's about it.
But no, that's probably my favorite book to movie. Because of how well it was written and directed.
Yeah.
Has anyone read the book of The Shining?
Yes.
I am interested to know people's opinions on book versus movie because they are drastically different things.
I mean, I've never seen I think it was Kubrick who directed the movie. Yes. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. I've never seen the movie. But the book is pretty, I think, like, from what I remember, it's been a few years. It's pretty vivid in its imagery. And I found myself really just clenching onto the book looking for what happens. I lost it before I could finish it, though, but I got, like, over halfway through. Mm-hmm. But I at least picked it up and read it.
Because that's one that I've always intended to read. because I'm honestly not a huge fan of the movie. Everyone loves it, and it's technically a well-made movie, but it's like it was made in a way that I feel like you have to be as smart as Kubrick to understand. And like,
well, I think Kubrick came out and he said, like, when he was making it, he straight up told like Stephen King, he's like, I'm not gonna adapt it, you know, page to page. We're gonna make it how I want to make it. And the movie came out, and Stephen King was kind of like, I don't like it. And I don't think he likes it anymore. I think he still isn't a fan of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Even like, if you can delve way into the behind the scenes stuff of the movie. There's just like stuff like behind the scenes of filming are so out there. Where it's not. It's like, I don't know. It's like the way the hotel itself doesn't even make sense. The way like it flows, like when he's like riding through the halls and shit. Like, there's no way. Sorry. didn't mean to let that slip. That's just my feelings on The Shining, where it's like the hotel itself doesn't even make sense, and it's just like there's just random stuff everywhere, and then like you think you start understanding it, and then it turns in the ending, and then it's like then you don't know anything anymore, and it's like what the heck is happening this whole time. So like there's individual moments from the movie I like, but the movie on the whole I'm not a fan of. So that's why I want to try to read the book, because since it's so different, I feel like I might like the book more.
Did you see Dr. Sleep?
I have not.
Yeah, I heard that one was like kind of what you'd expect, just like a, you know, an okay sequel to The Shining that just, you know, it wasn't the same, obviously, but it was all right. But I haven't seen it either, so I don't know. I was one of the people who watched Game of Thrones and then started to like get into the books. And like, I have the books and I've read the first one, but whew, there's a lot of detail packed into those. I tell you, like the show is really good, or they're like the most seasons are. And you read the books and you're like, this is really good too, but whew, there's a lot going on. Like, same with like Harry Potter too. You read the books for that and you're like, these are really good also, but there's definitely some stuff they left out. Mm-hmm.
Are there any books anybody has that they're very fond of and they just tend to, like, you guys just tend to reread them every like year or two? Like books that have really impacted you that you can't not read again?
See, I almost have the opposite, where the more I like a thing, the less likely I am to go back through it. It's weird. It's almost like I'd rather have that first time going through it be what's in my mind. Or it's like going back through it, knowing what happens. I don't know. I feel like I'd remember it differently, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Something where, well, it's actually a couple of books. My favorite books, I both read them when I was like in like fourth or fifth grade, and I like, you know, came to realize earlier on that, oh, there's actually like denser versions to these books. That is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I've reread them every couple of years, the like original books that I started reading. But now I'm really wanting to pick up the unabridged versions. And I know for sure with Victor Hugo's Hunchback of Notre Dame, Victor Hugo is really, really, I don't know how to say it. He's very detailed or compact with his writing. So I feel like if I try to look for an unabridged version, it's going to be really a really thick book. But every time I reread those, it still takes me on the same trip I went on when I was younger. So I just am looking forward to taking a more detailed grown-up approach through them now.
Now, thinking back, because I'm trying to think, I don't think I've ever reread a book, at least within what I can remember. I don't think I've ever reread a book.
I don't think I have either.
Like, you're worried it's going to, like, change your opinion on it, or what is it?
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's just I've never gone back just to reread, and I've just read new things. Like, it's not like I just keep what I read in my mind, but then I just keep reading new things. I don't really go back and reread things I've already read. I mean, I have a whole shelf back here full of books that I think I've maybe read half of. So it's like I just have such a backlog of books too that like when I finally get around to reading on one, I don't like I want to do a new one, not one that I already know.
I found like out of rereading books, I mean, of course, first-handedly, there's usually the story that sticks with you, but then as I've read my two favorites, again, it starts off with, oh, like, what a great story, as I put it down for the first time. And then as I read it and put it down the second time, I notice things that I didn't previously. And, well, especially since I started off so young with those two books, I started recognizing the philosophical, like, messages of the books. So I was like, whoa, dude. That just solidified it as heavier. In my impression. So that's what made them so enjoyable to reread.
See, like, yeah, it's fun to reread stuff that you read as a kid as, like, you know, an older person. Like, if you wait, like, I don't know, let's say 5 years in between, I feel like it's kind of a different experience just because when you're a kid, you don't pick up on as many of the details and, like, the themes, like you said, going on than you might as, like, an adult. Or if you read a kid's book as an adult, you're like, man, this is good, but like definitely meant for kids, you know? Like, I feel like if you wait a decent amount of time, you could kind of get a different experience from it.
That's true. That like rereading books from like forever ago, like when you're a kid. Because honestly, talking about Spiderwick Chronicles, I kind of want to reread those. Because it's been long enough, I kind of don't remember much about them other than liking them. I remember the feeling I had reading them, but not exactly what happened. Which is maybe then the sign where, like, I kind of want to go back and reread them, even though they're meant for, like, younger people.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I did...
I suppose look... I've passively... Yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say, I did look it up. The second series is called Behind... or Beyond the Spiderwick Chronicles, and there's three of them. But go ahead. I was just...
Okay. I know I've passively reread the stories. My mom does this thing where, well, first off, I should explain to everybody, I am the eldest of six children, and every time somebody turns 9 years old, my mom feels compelled to read them the Spiderwick Chronicles or have them read it with her. She loves the stories too. So I've passively, I've just passively listened to them. And I still think they're enjoyable for adults as much so than as if it were if you were a kid reading them for the first time. So yeah, I don't think it would like be a waste of your time, Cole.
Well, I can appreciate things that are meant for a younger audience too. Like, just in general. Like, it's like watching kids' movies. Yeah. Like, even though you're not the intended audience, they're still enjoyable.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think... need to have any reason to be disappointed, and that's kind of the thing to look forward to. I still think they're epic.
Sitting here talking about Spiderwick Chronicles made me think I took a weird turn after Spiderwick Chronicles. Like, I read them, and then I read The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which is like a dark...
That's like 0 to 100 really quick.
Like, yeah, and I was like in fourth grade. I'm like loving the
book. You read The Road in fourth grade?
Yeah, because my dad was reading it. And he's like, oh man, it's so good. I was like, I want to read it. And he's like, well. And then that makes me want to read it more. It's like if your parents close your eyes and you're like, well, now I got to watch it.
Yeah. I kind of went on a rebellion streak starting fourth or fifth grade because I noticed, there's books where, like, I would judge them based off of the cover and the synopsis and go, like, oh, it's a period drama with a bunch of girls? Nah. So then I'd find my way around it, and my mom was kind of like, well, as long as she's reading and they're classics, that's fine. So then I ended up reading, like, classics I initially wasn't supposed to read until I was in, like, 10th grade or higher. So when I was, like, in 4th or 5th grade, I remember my mom would go to her midwife appointments with my fourth younger brother. And while I was waiting, while she was taking these appointments, I remember reading George Orwell's 1984. So that definitely impacted me.
Yeah, what age was
something. I was probably like 10 years old. Yeah.
That's pretty funny, actually. Wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was really riveting. Or sorry, not 1984, it was Animal Farm. Gosh, tomato, potato, right?
I get them mixed up all the time, too.
Yeah.
Glad but to hear like, same, the only
same,
one.
Same feeling of like, of like, yikes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, still, like, you're looking at dystopian worlds in either of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I was like 10 years old, I just had like Animal Farm clenched into my hands while my mom was, you know, getting the baby checked on. That's just a vivid memory.
Just casually learning about communism.
It was in Sherman Hill, too. Yeah. Learning about communism while I'm sitting on this, in this, house. It's like, it was a really old house that they turned into a clinic in Sherman Hill. If you know what that looks like, it was like really aesthetically cool. It's a cool scene to be reading Animal Farm in.
The first time I read Animal Farm, I wasn't really paying attention. Like, I wasn't interested in it the first time I read it as a kid. I feel like I should go back and read it now and get a different
I felt like if I read it again, I'd still cry. I think, like, anybody who's read Animal Farm, you know what part you cry in.
I don't know why this made me think of it, but one of my favorite books from when I was, like, a really young kid, Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
That's, I have it on my bookshelf right now.
Charlotte's Web is so good.
It's a staple for a reason.
So good.
I don't know why Animal Farm and crying made me think, I mean, maybe it makes sense, but that's a bit of a jump to make, but yeah.
Well, it has pigs, and there's crying, so.
Yes.
I feel like if I walked into a house and just saw a kid sitting there reading Animal Farm or 1984, I would just be like so confused. Like, that's not something you see a kid reading and you expect a kid's book, then you see 1984 and you're like, wait, what? How do you even get that?
Like, well, gosh, I wouldn't suggest reading 1984 like until like the kid's older, like high school probably, because there's like some details in it that are more adult in nature. But yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't read 1984 until I was like 17, 18.
I remember when I was reading The Road at school, and I was like fourth or fifth grade, the teacher walked up and she's like, oh, what are you reading? And I just was like, oh, it's a travel story about a father and son, like trying to not make it seem so dark.
And how cute.
And then I'm right on a part where, like, there's some crazy stuff happening because I don't want to ruin anything. And I'm just thinking, please don't make me read to you. Please don't make me read to you. Because there's like, read me a paragraph. And I'm like, this isn't school appropriate. Don't make me read to you. Oh, just remember that about The Road. That is my favorite book of all time, though. So if you haven't read The Road, you've got to read it.
Have you read No Country for Old Men, too?
Yes.
That's a really good one I like.
Mm-hmm. That's another great book to movie.
True, yeah.
The movie.
Okay. Well, we only got a couple minutes left here, so I guess just it was nice hearing everyone's opinions on books, and I got a nice little list of things to look into. So
yeah,
maybe
nice little quarantine reading list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes. May as well. It's better than binging TikToks.
Debatable.
Maybe we'll revisit this topic again in the future because there's so many books, and as we read things, maybe we'll have more things to add. But for now,
yeah.
I think this is good. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.